KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is signaling that he'll announce plans to run for re-election tomorrow in San Diego. That's the day state Republicans open their political convention in Anaheim. The governor is joining many others in criticizing yesterday's ruling by a U.S. District Court judge in Sacramento that reciting the Pledge of Allegiance in public schools is unconstitutional because it contains the phrase, under God. Jason Margolis has more.
The case first surfaced in Sacramento 5 years ago when Michael Newdow, an avowed atheist, argued that his kindergarten daughter shouldn't have to hear the pledge in school. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with Newdow, but the U.S. Supreme Court struck down that decision, saying since Newdow didn't have legal custody, he couldn't speak for his child. Now, Newdow, who is a lawyer, is representing the parents of three other school children. Yesterday, federal judge Lawrence Carlton sided with the Ninth Circuit's earlier decision, saying that reciting the pledge impermissibly coerces a religious act. Carlton's ruling is almost certain to climb back up the court ladder through various appeals. If it reaches the Supreme Court, Michael Newdow, who was reached on his cell phone yesterday, says he believes he has a stronger case because the court made its decision last time on grounds of custody, not on whether the pledge imposes a religious view.
I don't think I lost before. They never ruled. The Constitution seems to be pretty clear. Government's not supposed to take sides on religious issues, and it's clearly taking a side here.
But UC Hastings law professor Vikram Amar says this time around it will be even harder for Newdow to win his case because several justices already wrote opinions on the issue.
Of the four justices who spoke to the merits of the case 2 years ago, all of them rejected Mr. Newdow's claim. That means that if he were to prevail at the Supreme Court on the merits, he would have to pick up the votes of all the other justices who did not give an inkling either way.
With yesterday's ruling, Michael Newdow can now file an injunction to stop the pledge in three Sacramento area school districts that he sued. A lawyer for Elk Grove Unified said the district is currently reviewing when to appeal. That school board has long supported the Pledge of Allegiance as an appropriate patriotic exercise for willing students. For the California Report, I'm Jason Margolis in Sacramento.
The city of Los Angeles is stepping up to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. The city's redevelopment agency today will consider a plan to budget $300,000 to help fund housing for evacuees who may end up in L.A. The city is also offering to help create after-school programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hurricane Katrina has prompted every state in the nation to rethink how well it's planned for natural disasters. Over the past week, we've been examining different aspects of that preparation here in California. Today, Cy Musiker has a look at how state transportation systems would stand up to a major earthquake.
New Orleans was a wake-up call for crisis managers, a reminder that authorities can plan all they like and things can still go dramatically wrong. Jeannie Perkins manages earthquake planning for ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments.
The tricky part of this whole thing is to make sure you have a natural disaster that you can recover from in a planned way, getting back to normal. One of the things that we saw in New Orleans is that we need to avoid making the natural disaster a human catastrophe.
Perkins helped put together a website that illustrates earthquake disaster scenarios.
We're looking at a map of the Bay Area here. It shows all of the major faults in the Bay Area that are active.
Perkins clicks on the green line, indicating the Hayward Fault, running under Berkeley and Oakland. An earthquake of magnitude 6.7 here could be more dangerous than a larger one on other faults.
Even though the earthquake associated with that will be smaller than a repeat of 1906, it goes through a much more urban area and is actually responsible for more road closures in the Bay Area.
1,700 road closures, plus breaks in 42 water pipelines and 8 natural gas lines. The road closures will be more than an inconvenience. Tens of thousands of commuters will be stranded far from home, and emergency workers won't be able to provide medical and fire services. Gunnar Salvadore directs the Collaborative for Disaster Mitigation at San Jose State University. He says Caltrans has spent $2 billion retrofitting state bridges and roads, but local roads will likely collapse anywhere they cross a culvert or poorly constructed roadbed.
A lot of the ambulances and fire trucks don't use highways. They use city streets. How well are they going to be able to get around? We've got to look at that sort of network as well, and I'm not sure if we've done a good job of doing that.
For that matter, Caltrans has barely started replacing the quake-damaged San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge, the most heavily traveled 5 miles in the state. Public transit is almost as vulnerable. In Los Angeles, the light rail system was built to withstand a magnitude 8 earthquake. But much of BART, the San Francisco Bay Area's light rail system, is 33 years old, not up to modern earthquake standards. We're waiting for a train now on BART with its chief spokesman, Linton Johnson.
We're at the West Oakland BART station, and it's an elevated station. And all of our elevated stations and train tracks need to be strengthened.
Johnson says BART is about to begin a 10-year retrofit of its original 73 miles of elevated tracks, plus the more complicated job of retrofitting the Transbay 2.
Right now we're going into the Transbay 2, the most critical part of BART. Half our ridership goes through here every single day, 150,000 riders. We're right now probably passing one of the earthquake safety joints that we have. There are two of them on either end of the tube. These joints protect the tube in that if there's an earthquake, they keep the tube stable. But if there's a big enough earthquake, they may not be able to do that, causing the tube to shift. So we're racing against time to get this tube strengthened for an earthquake.
BART might have started its retrofit sooner, but it took two tries at the ballot box before voters approved spending the nearly $1 billion it will take for the upgrades. So can we make the state earthquake or disaster proof? Engineer Guna Silvadere says it's possible even to build a Los Angeles able to withstand a magnitude 9 earthquake, but it would be so expensive, it would mean sacrificing schools, parks, and public services. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
And finally this morning, the passing of a Hollywood legend. Filmmaker Robert Wise, winner of 4 Academy Awards for the 1960s musicals West Side Story and The Sound of Music, died of heart failure in Los Angeles yesterday. Wise's career spanned more than 50 years. He was 91. That's the California Report for Thursday, September 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good. TIAA-CREF.org. The Steward Foundation, for coverage of important issues in public education. And the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family. Online at farmwater.org.